Will you please remain standing for our Newer Testament reading?
For our Newer Testament reading, please turn in your copies of the Scriptures to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we will be reading verses 1 through 5. People of God, hear again the Word of God. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Thus ends the reading and the hearing of the Word of God. My tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Will you please be seated? Once again, before we open our copies of the Scripture to study the Word of God together, I'd ask if you would please bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord in a word of prayer, asking for His help and His illumination. Father, we are so grateful to you that you have not left us in the darkness of nature's night, that when our understanding was so affected by our sin, by our depravity, by nature's night, that we could not behold one good and true thing about God, and very little even as we beheld nature, you came and you set us free, you sought us, and you brought some faithful person into our lives who testified to us regarding the good news of the gospel of Christ, of the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit pressed those things to our hearts and made us sensitive, awakened our conscience so that it was stung, affected, and that conscience, that awakened conscience, so plagued us that it caused us, Lord, to turn from our sin, to freely acknowledge it, to freely own it, and to believe freely that Christ made a full atonement for our sins, and that through our faith in Him, we are born again. And Lord, as you did all this incredible work for us and in us, and are working through us to continue to advance the kingdom of God on earth, we turn to you again, Lord, and we ask for your help, knowing the power of the Holy Spirit and the efficacy of your word, that you would certainly use both of those things to give us a better and clearer understanding of what we're in the midst of, what we're involved with, what we're up against, that it is an ongoing war between good and evil, between the forces of Satan and the forces of Christ, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And so I pray, Father, that you would shine your light in our hearts via your word, that you would plumb the depths of the well of your infinite and eternal wisdom and bring them to the surface where we might drink a great deep draught of these things and that it might satisfy us, quenching our thirst for righteousness and being those life-giving waters that produce in us a fervor for the kingdom of God in our efforts and labors in this world in Christ's name. And so I pray, Father, open these eyes that have been blinded by sin and these ears that have been deafened by sin and these hearts which have been hardened by sin that we might see and hear and understand what the Holy Ghost has to say to this church this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pick up our study through the book of Numbers, I would ask you to turn there with me once again to Numbers chapter 33. I was going to ask Greg to read the first 37 verses for us, but all right, I'll do it. Okay, so we're really going to focus on verses 38 through the end of the chapter, but in order to maintain its context, if you would please follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. Okay, so he's keeping a record. He's keeping a history of these things, right? He's journaling, essentially. And this is what became for us these first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. So he's writing these things down by the command of God, right? And these are their journeys according to their starting points. So this is the history of Israel. Moses recorded it so it would not be lost to his posterity, of which we are now a part. Don't forget, we are sons of Abraham through faith. So they departed from Ramses in Egypt in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn. So they're in the midst of this carnage that occurred because the angel of death went through their land and slew all the firstborn males, right? So they're in the midst of funeral after funeral. There's funerals going on everywhere around them, everywhere they look. Here's a funeral, there's a funeral, there's funerals all around them. And so in the midst of this, the children of Israel went out with boldness, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn whom the Lord had killed among them, and also on their gods the Lord had executed judgments. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramses and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which is east of Baal-Zephon, and they camped near Migdol. They departed from before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Etham and camped at Marah. They moved from Marah and came to Elim. At Elim there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, kind of like what we have up here this morning. So they camped there. They moved from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They moved from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophkah. They departed from Dophkah and camped at Elish. They moved from Elish and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth-Hataava. They departed from Kibroth-Hataava and camped at Hazeroth. They departed from Hazeroth and camped at Rithma. They departed from Rithma and camped at Rimmon-Perez. They departed from Rimmon-Perez and camped at Libna. So here it is. This is the whole 40 years he's recapping for us, right? They moved from here to here to here to here. If any of you guys have gone camping, you know what it's like. It's a pain in the neck to set up, right? And then, you know, you barely get set up, and then it's time to break it back down. I got to get to work, you know, and so you can kind of have pity for these people. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth-Hataava. I already said that, didn't I? Where were we? They departed from Hazeroth and camped at Rithma. They departed from Rithma and camped at Rimmon-Perez. They departed from Rimmon-Perez and camped at Libna. They moved from Libna and camped at Rissa. They journeyed from Rissa and camped at Kehelath. They went from Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shepher. They moved from Mount Shepher and camped at Herodah. They moved from Herodah and camped at Machelath. They moved from Machelath and camped at Tehath. They departed from Tehath and camped at Tira. They moved from Tira and camped at Mithka. They went from Mithka and camped at Hashmona. They departed from Hashmona and camped at Moseroth. They departed from Moseroth and camped at Bene Jaquin. They moved from Bene Jaquin and camped at Hor Haggadah Gad. They went from there to Jotbatha and from Jotbatha and camped at Habronah. They departed from Habronah and camped at Ezion-Geber. They moved from Ezion-Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. They moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. Now for us, it's not nearly as meaningful to read this stuff as it would have been for those who had actually camped at all these spots. You know, whenever you been on a camping trip or any vacation, really, what do you do when you get home but you find a particular pleasure in recounting like the highlights of the trip? Remember this, remember this, remember this, remember when that happened? Oh, and you want to share this stuff with another person, right? You want to share it with those who are near and dear to you. Life is not nearly as sweet when we don't have someone to share it with. Is that true? Right? I mean, that's what I find. I find that so much of life, the sweetness of it, is when we get to share it with somebody who's very near and dear to us. But you try and convey this stuff to somebody who wasn't there, And it's like, goes right over their head. They really don't care. Here, let me show you pictures. Okay. But here they are. They're recounting it. And so these people that lived through this stuff, they're remembering. Oh, I remember that was a place with no water. You know, they remembered all these different things. Oh, that's where we encountered these people that were fearsome and we were afraid for our lives. All this different stuff they encountered. So Moses is reminding them of all this stuff right before they go into Canaan. Remember this stuff. This all happened to you because you didn't obey God. Right or wrong? You know it's true. They didn't obey God. Abraham obeyed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Joshua and Caleb obeyed God and they're the only ones that get to go in. The rest of them who were 20 years old and older when the spies went to plot out the land didn't get to go in because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a terrible and dreadful thing. And even if during these 40 years these people repented of their sin, I suspect that many of them did, if not all of them. These are the people of God. They still didn't get to go in because there's consequences for our sin. And Greg just read masterfully through the list of the names of all these leaders in Israel. For what? For their departure from the covenant of God, from obeying His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. These people didn't obey it. It was for that reason that they were cast back out. In the passage that Greg read for us, they were cast back out of the land. And they were being brought back in. But Ezra says, whoa, 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 wait a minute, what's this? In this passage that Greg read to us. What's this? Some of you, you brought your foreign wives here? Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? That's why we got kicked out in the first place. And it had to be exasperating to him. Is it not exasperating to you to see the immoral, foolish acts of all these people who are in leadership positions, our so-called resident in the White House and his administration, along with all of these elected officials who are supposed to be the leaders of our nation, making stupid decision after stupid decision? I know it's tedious to read through this stuff again, after we've read through it and see these events recapped for us. But what if this was all we knew of the wilderness wanderings? What if this portion, this recapping, was all we knew? That's not much, is it? If this is all we knew, it was just the names of all the places, thumbtacks at points on a map. If that's all this was, how is that helpful to us? It's not. But that's not all we know, is it? Consider the lessons that we've learned when we started studying through this book over a year ago, a year and a half ago. Think of it. Think of all the ways that God has revealed Himself and how He intends to work in societies, in cultures. This is how He wants them to be based and established. This wasn't for them only. He gave them the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, as well as case example after case example, so that we would see not only the commandments and the judgments and the statutes, but how to apply them. As we are attempting to live life on this earth as the people of God, to bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. The lessons that we've learned, why, you could fill a book with them. Oh, wait a minute. There's not just one book, there's four books and even five. We have to include Genesis in this. It's not just Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have to include Genesis in this account, because without Genesis, we wouldn't know how they got in Egypt in the first place. or that God had made the promise with Abraham that he would give them the promised land and he would make Abraham the father of many nations. What an incredible way that God, he had Moses record these things. We read it right here. Now Moses wrote down in verse 2 the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points. He had them write all this stuff down. Why? Because it's so critical to our understanding of how sin has affected this world and this world's inhabitants that God saw fit to tell these things to Moses, to tell him, this is what I want you to write down, this is how I wanted it recorded, so that Moses would take the most extreme care in his recording of these events, as far as the key events, the key players, making such careful record of it, because the history of Israel is where we learn the law of God along with the statutes and judgments several times over, along with all of these instances where it is applied, so that we'd know how to do the same thing over and over again. As we've studied through this book of Numbers, we've been able to bear witness to the fact that all these other societies that they've been coming into contact with and interacting with, that were governed apart from the commandments and the statutes and the judgments and the laws of God, they were destined to failure. They were destined ultimately to be judged and destroyed by the judging and destroying hand of God as he worked through the Israelites, annihilating them, pushing them out from this land. We see it. We see it. They're recorded for us. And then from this point on, as they make a clean sweep of the land of Canaan, as they sweep it of all of these foreigners, these Canaanites, from that time forward into the New Testament, we also are able to bear witness to the fact, as what Greg read for us this morning, that every time Israel, who was given possession of the promised land, how? Why? According to the statutes and the judgments and the laws of God, every time they departed from those things, she also departed from the restraint of God's punishment and subsequently felt the sting of the rod of his wrath for her sin as they were banished from the land for the same sin that he banished these inhabitants for. Same sin, same punishment. You see what I'm saying? Their judgment isn't less. They are judged similarly for it. I tell you quite plainly, I am a convinced, ardent theonomist. I believe that there's only one possible way for men to live on earth in peace, and that is by basing their culture and their society on the law of God. And I base my position on my reading of the Bible, because as I read my Bible, I see it telling me these things. I see that any of the represented cultures that base their rules for civil society on any other foundation suffered ruin and destruction in direct relation and proportion to their departure from said statutes, judgments, and laws, including Israel. And so too has the Church of Jesus Christ in the Newer Testament era. Remember, if a person sees the laws and statutes and judgments of God as restrictive, to depart from them is not freedom, it's lawlessness. Lawlessness, chaos, anarchy come from departing from the law of God. Nothing good ever comes from departing from the law of God. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing good comes from departing from the law of God. His laws are good. You know God means good? That's what that word means. He is the all good. And so, he's worthy of our worship. wherever a culture departs from the law of God, there can never be non-law. There can never be a vacuum. It doesn't exist. Such a thing doesn't exist in nature. And so nothing like that can exist as in governing over the peoples of this world. There will always be some cohesive force that unites people. Someone or something always emerges that brings and unites the people together, but not always in a good way. Wherever the law of God is ignored, wherever we depart from the law of God, in those instances where the law of God is rejected, what do we see but the emergence of wickedness of the most grievous sorts, where we see men, where we see cultures, where we see societies reject the laws and statutes and judgments of God? What emerges? We see it. We have gangs. We have drug lords. We have MS-13. We have the warlords, the Taliban, ISIS, and so forth. And as these emerge, they're always accompanied by incredible forced acts of wickedness and brutality of the most grievous sort. And lest anyone think that that could never happen in America, I would remind you that since 1973, through the decision of the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade, 60 million babies have been murdered in the United States of America. And what about these child sex trafficking rings? Oh my gosh, as the news of this continues to come out, it is so appalling and revolting and disgusting. I can't believe how prominent and prevalent this is in culture and society, even into the highest ranks. And have you seen the photos of Hunter Biden's laptop? This is disgusting, people. Where is the FBI? Watch, I'll disappear tomorrow. Where are you, FBI? Where are you, CIA? No, instead you'll go and arrest and keep in solitary confinement patriots. And we didn't even know that there were 400 people from January 6th that are still being held in solitary confinement who were arrested by our FBI until Joe Biden had a meeting with Putin. Putin had to tell us this. He knows. This is dreadful, dear ones. This is dreadful, and it's happening in America. Why? Because we've departed from the law of God and the restraining hand of God. Once the restraining hand of God is lifted, this is what happens. And then the media has the audacity to publish articles stating things like over 60% of Americans are optimistic in the direction our country is heading. What? I don't know who these people are. How is it possible that 60% are optimistic? I don't believe it. I think it is, you know, like, who gave us the quote on statistics? There are three kinds of statistics: lies, something lies, and damn lies. This is incredible. Where they get this stuff from? They make it up. The only place we are heading is to the judgment of God, as the acts of these wicked God-haters are splintering the remaining vestiges of our moral fabric and rubbing our noses in it. But I would also remind you that all is not lost. It never is. Joshua and Caleb stood up when the rest of Israel said, "We will not go in." Joshua and Caleb said, "No, it's a good land. We must go in. We can take that land." The plague broke out on Israel. Why? Because these guys, they start merging with the Canaanites. They start committing adultery with the Canaanite women. And what happened? The plague broke out on them until Phinehas followed that guy into his tent. and drove the spear through both of them, pinning them to the ground, and the plague was stopped. When we are tempted to cry out like Elijah, "Lord, they've killed your prophets, torn down your altars. I alone am left, and they're trying to kill me." Have you ever felt like that? I have. I know that you're here too, but it feels like we're isolated, that we're a very lonely, small group. "Oh Lord, they've killed your prophets, they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they're seeking my life too." But what was the Lord's answer? "I've reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal." There's always a remnant, dear ones. And so I would say, let's resolve that by the grace of God that we would be that remnant, always testifying to the work of God in the world and the work of Christ in saving this world and the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing repentance. Let us be that light. The hour is getting late. I have so much more I wanted to say about this. Let me conclude by saying, may God grant us grace to conquer sin and wickedness in this world, in this day, by His grace, through His power. The same power, I would remind you, that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. And so, go and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, may God be pleased to conquer the sin and corruption that are having such a moment in the sun in our day. And may His blessing return to our sweet land. And all of God's people said, amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we are grateful to you for this work of redemption, that we were once numbered amongst all those who hated you, who disregarded you, who walked according to the dictates of our own hearts, our own imaginations, to our own demise. But you came and you made us alive, that you showed us the truth of ourself, that you taught us our sinfulness and to hate it, to turn from it, to repent, to put our faith in Christ and to be born again. And now, Lord, I pray for your blessing to be upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and protect us from these forces of evil, from these minions of Satan. I pray, Lord, that you would give us peace that is the result of righteousness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.